All right, take your Bible this evening, please, and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. As you can see, we are prepared for the Lord's Supper tonight. And so I want us to think about the Lord's Supper this evening. I'll give you a little thought about the Lord's Supper, a little lesson on the Lord's Supper tonight, and then we'll take communion in just a little bit. But let's begin reading in verse 23 of 1 Corinthians 11. Verse 23, Paul says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together unto condemnation, and the rest will I set in order when I come." All right, let's pray together, please. Father, I ask now your blessings upon us as we take a few minutes and just look at these verses that Paul wrote to the church to correct a problem. And Father, I pray you will help us to understand the purpose for the bread and the cup. Help us to realize that there is a reason that we do this. And it's not just something that we tack on to the end of the service ever so often. But, Father, there is purpose behind this. And I pray you'll help us to see that purpose tonight. Bless now, Lord. I need your blessing as I speak, and bless our folks as they listen. All of us certainly need your blessing as we listen. So we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. When I was in Bible college, my junior year, we took, all the juniors had to take a class called Bible Doctrines. And you go three times a week for 1 hour, and you were instructed in the doctrines of the Bible. We spent several class periods on on a study about the Lord's Supper. And we had to learn in that class all the different approaches and all the different theories and all the different ideas connected to the Lord's Supper. We had to learn the theory of transubstantiation. I couldn't even spell transubstantiation, but we had to learn what it was and all about it. And then there is the theory of consubstantiation. And then there was the Lutheran theory, and then there was the Calvin theory, and all of it had to be mastered. We had to learn every bit of it. And I remember sitting there listening to the professor talk about all this stuff, And I remember kind of giggling a little bit and thinking to myself, what a mess the devil has made out of something so simple that a child could understand it. You didn't need to spend 4 or 5 class periods trying to figure all this out. It's not that complicated and it's not that difficult. The Lord's Supper is a simple little illustration. That's all it is. It is not difficult. And it is what we're going to do in a few minutes. Is it communion? Is it Holy Communion? Is it the Eucharist or the Holy Eucharist? Or just what is it? Well, I'll tell you what it is. It is God's people gathering in God's house and just loving the Lord Jesus as we look back at what he did for us as he hung on Calvary's cross. Now, folks, that's what the Lord's Supper is. There's no need for learning how to spell words that long. Transubstantiation and consubstantiation and all. There's no need for all that. All you need to know about the Lord's Supper is that it's just that, remembering. It is remembering what Jesus has done for us. And what all these theories and what all this stuff is a bunch of ritual that men are depending upon as a means to get them to heaven. And God, the Lord Jesus, never intended for the Lord's Supper to be a means or an instrument whereby we get saved. I remember years ago going to a church. My mother was trying to find a church, and I was probably about 11 or 12 years old, and my mother was trying to find a church, and so we went to this church. I don't even remember what the name of it was now, but it was some kind of a non-denominational, I don't know what it was, to be honest with you. I can remember seeing the building, but I remember sitting there. And they had communion on in the Sunday morning service. And I remember that guy preaching the message in a suit. But then he went in the back and he got this robe on and this big medallion on, this great big hat on. And he came out all religious and spiritual and pious. And he stood there using all these fancy words and reading it all off a piece of paper. And he was going, "Oh, beloved of God, and we've gathered in the holy temple to break the holy bread and the holy fruitage of the vine and the holy vine," and blah, blah, blah. And I'm sitting there going, good grief, where did this guy come from? I mean, I was not impressed at all. And evidently wasn't too many other people impressed either, because some people got up and walked out when all that started. I mean, good grief, folks. This is not complicated. The theologians sit around and debate, what did Jesus mean here? What was he meaning by this? Well, I tell you what he means. He's saying, look, guys, I'm leaving, but I'm coming back. And until I do come back, I want you all just to get together every now and then and just love on me a little bit and remember what I did for you. Just remember that I went to the cross and gave my life so that you could be saved. I'm leaving, but I'm coming back. So while I'm gone, don't forget me. Don't forget me. That's what communion is all about. Now, I want you to think about this, folks. He could have got the disciples together and said to them, now, look, guys, I want you all to go out and raise about $8-10 million. And I want you to go to every continent on this planet, and I want you to build this great big library in my name and in my honor. And I want you to put a statue of me in that library, and then folks can come by and they can remember what I did. No, that's not what he did. That's not what he asked. And the reason that he didn't is he doesn't want to be remembered like that. He wants to be remembered by the purpose for which he came to this earth. That purpose was to die on a cross for sinful men. He just simply says to us, I left heaven to come here so that I could might give my life so that I could redeem you. And I just don't want you to forget that. And folks, that is what communion is all about. In a little while, we'll take the bread, and that bread is a picture of his body that was broken for us. We will then take the juice, and that juice is a picture of his blood that was shed for us. And that's what communion is all about. Now, there are three things from these verses that the Lord Jesus wants us to remember. First of all, he wants us to remember that he loves us. He loves us. Don't ever forget that, folks. In 1 Corinthians 13, in verse 8, Paul said, love never fails. Real, true Bible love never fails. John 3:16 tells us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. God's love never fails. His love to us never fails. That means that when you and I don't love God back, it doesn't matter. He still loves us. That means it doesn't matter what the reciprocation is. God still loves us. I mean, so much of our love that we have for one another depends upon reciprocation, okay? But not with God. God's love is unconditional love. He just loves us, period, case closed. It doesn't even matter if you love him back. He loves you even when you don't love him back. And he proved that when even as sinful, wicked hands crucified him, and he looked down upon that mob that had gathered and cried, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You see, it didn't matter that they were trying to kill him. He loved them anyway. And that is true Bible love. And let me tell you something, folks. It was established long before ever the world was created, long before Adam and Eve ever took their first breath on this planet, long before the sun ever broke through the eastern sky, long before any of it, it was proven God loved each and every one of us. And so the Lord's Supper is merely you and me taking a moment and saying, I remember, and Jesus, I love you too. It is just you and me saying, Jesus, I remember, and I love you too. The Lord Jesus tells us every time we take that bread and every time we take that cup, the Lord Jesus says, remember now, I loved you this much. I loved you so much that I was willing to die on the cross for you. I proved my unfailing love on the cross, and I will love you forever. It will never fail. My love will never end, and I wish you'd love me back. That's what the Lord is saying. I want you to know, folks, that when you take this communion tonight, you are hearing the Lord Jesus say, I love you. And tonight when we take the Lord's Supper, I just can imagine our Savior will look down upon us from heaven and a big old smile will come over his face and he will say, they're thinking about me. And I like that. He probably will call out to one of the angels and say, hey, come here, look down there in Westminster. Look at 550 Baltimore Boulevard. They are loving me for what I did for them. And you can be assured, dear friend, the Lord Jesus is going to be pleased. Secondly, not only does he show us his love, but secondly, he shows us his sacrifice. That's what it's all about, us remembering what he did for us. Think on it, folks. He who was rich became poor. Think about that. He left heaven to come here. Now you think about that. He had no place to lay his head, we're told in the Gospels. He was despised and rejected, we are told in the book of Isaiah. They lied about him, and they scourged him, and they cleared their throats and spat upon him. They placed a crown of thorns upon his head and then nailed him to a cross and hung him between heaven and earth, naked in shame, to die. And out of love, he made the supreme sacrifice. And all he is saying with this that is in front of us tonight is, hey, folks, just remember, don't forget what I did for you. You see, here's the thing. He would have done it if not a one of us had accepted it. He would have still died for us. If not a one of us had received Christ as our Savior, he still would have died for us. There is not a mother sitting in this room who would not have done all you did for your kids, even if they didn't remember one thing you did for them. No, you'd have done it all, wouldn't you? That's what a mom does. But there's not a one of you moms sitting here tonight who doesn't delight when your children come back and say, Mom, thank you for what you did for me. And they remember what you did for them. There's not one single mother that doesn't rejoice in that. And folks, Jesus is saying the very same thing. Eat this bread and drink this juice. And when you do, you are remembering the sacrifice that I made for you. You see, folks, Jesus will be loved and he will be blessed by what we do in just a few minutes. When we take the bread and the juice, Jesus probably will say, you know, I love those folks down at Open Door. I love them enough that I died on the cross for them. I died for them when they were out in sin and when they didn't love me. I still died for them. But now they're sitting in church tonight. And they're thinking about me and they are thankful that for what I did. And now I am so happy. And let me tell you something, folks. In a few moments, you're going to be blessed beyond measure that you are just incapable of grasping all the blessing that will be yours as you remember Jesus. All of heaven is going to stand still and pay attention that he's getting some honor and glory. I mean, all of heaven, everybody in heaven, all the ears will be bent in our direction. All of heaven, everybody up there will be praising our blessed Redeemer more than 2,000 choirs could praise him, all because of just a handful group of God's people are getting together and saying, Lord, I remember what you did for me. Oh, just think about it. You say, well, I love you, Jesus. I remember that you died for me. And I sure do thank you. And folks, I promise you this, the Lord Jesus is going to be so pleased. But then thirdly, he wants us to remember he's coming again. And he is coming again. Look at verse 26. Verse 26, he said, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death. What's that next phrase? Till he come. And he hasn't come yet. He's coming. In John 13, where the Lord served this meal to the disciples, in verse 14, he said to them, or at the beginning of chapter 14, he said to them, in my Father's house are many mansions. In my Father's house are many mansions. And he told us about heaven. And he said, if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And folks, listen to me. As sure as the sun came up this morning, Jesus is coming again. Do you ever think about how much Jesus wants us to be with him? You ever think about that? He said, I will come again. I will come again. The Lord's Supper reminds us that because of Calvary, that day is possible that we will see him face to face. Can you imagine it? In just a little while, the Lord Jesus will probably say to himself, as he looks down upon us and sees us taking the bread and taking the cup, and he will look down and say, look at there, they love me. They appreciate my dying for their sins, and look at them. They want to see me too. Not only does he want to see us, but he's going to see us taking communion and see that we want to see him as well. And folks, I think the Lord wants us to look forward to that day when he comes back, because we love him and we want to be with him to the day when we'll be united with him forever and ever, Paul said. We'll ever be with the Lord once he comes back. Oh, listen, brethren. Right there's the reason for the Lord's Supper. So God forbid that we just tack it on to the end of a service. God forbid that we do it simply because the constitution of our church says that we have to have the Lord's Supper once every 6 weeks. I mean, God forbid that we make it necessary for salvation as so many denominations do. No, it's not a matter of salvation. It's a picture of what transpired in order to make salvation possible. That's all it is. It shows us his love. It shows us his sacrifice. And it shows us that he's coming again. And my friend, if you'll just remember those things when the elements are passed out, what a blessing it'll be to your heart.